McCartney fans, and welcome to another edition of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. We are a Paul McCartney talk show mainly dealing with the solo career of Paul McCartney. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Tom Hunyadi. And with me, as always, is my partner in crime, my backwards traveler. He is the one and only Andy Nichols. Andy, what's going on, my friend?
I'm on the way, said the man in the long leather coat as he started his car.
All right. Very, very good. I like your shirt. Yes, and I see no one had to walk up a ladder to and grab a microscope to see.
if you believe that legend.
Yeah. So anyways, but today we're going to be talking about B-sides and earlier in the Two Legs show, when my cousin Dave Gargolino was with us, we covered the 70s and 80s. And now that Andy is here, we're going to continue this, and we're going to go into the 90s now. We're going to talk about the non-album B-sides. There was not as many singles in the 90s for McCartney, partly due because of the Beatles anthology, I'm sure. He continued with the nine album B-sides, which was started way back in the Beatles days, where they would always give us a new song for the B-sides that weren't, you know, on an album.
One thing about the 90s with him was, like, they were always very sporadic. There was no rhyme or reason to the B-sides, and, like, to your point about the anthology going on then, had a lot to do with it, but, like, there was no rhyme or reason to his release schedule or the B-sides or what was on there. Formats were still kind of all over the charts in the 90s,
right?
In the early 90s anyway. And then, you know, then the introduction of the CD singles started going crazy there in the 90s.
Right.
And then eventually, you know, that's getting phased out. So weird because the vinyl format was still, the top seller. At the beginning of the decade, by the end of the decade, vinyl wasn't really a thing anymore. So getting 45s of his were hard to come by. It was just a weird decade for that stuff.
Right. He was still doing the 12-inch single as well.
Yeah.
In the early 90s. So those seem to mirror the CD singles. So we'll briefly touch on that too, but we're mainly going to stick with the 7-inch singles and those B-sides, whether or not they were from those sessions or earlier sessions. You know, some of these B-sides ended up being for, like, the proposed cold cuts that never happened. So we started seeing some songs like that and songs that didn't make the album altogether and were not officially released up until, this time. You know, so we're going to be talking about those songs and, the 90s, 89 saw the release of Flowers in the Dirt, and we got all those singles in 89. However, we got one more single in 1990 for Flowers and Dirt, and that was Put It There, which will be the first...
First single, Put It There.
Yeah.
For the decade, 1990. This is in the 12-inch version. But Put It There on the A side, and the B side is Mama's Little Girl.
Yeah. Mama's Little Girl.
Yeah,
which was
to the wings, to the wings, to the wings.
Yeah, it has its roots back to 1972. You can definitely hear, Denny and Linda, and Paul. They're definitely honing the sound of the wings on that particular track. This would have been a cut that would have been on Cold Cuts.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it was remixed.
Really should have gone on Wildlife, really.
Yeah, absolutely. It would have been a nice fit on Wildlife, actually. But this was actually remixed and produced in 87 with McCartney and Chris Thomas.
Yeah,
with the proposed cold cuts that never happened, and we ended up getting All the Best instead.
Yeah. Put It There, as a single, 1990. I don't know if you have the chart numbers right in front of you, but...
No.
Probably not, but I mean, like, a slew of singles, really, this is that era, really. I mean, was this like the launching of all the multi-formats, the 12 inches, the CD single,
cassettes,
singles, which were a thing, So, you gotta wonder, was he really kind of dry of original material for that era to start throwing B-sides from 20 years ago. But this is a pattern, clearly, that he kept well on through the 1990s with the Flaming Hot B-side singles. So he was really just saying, okay, here's a song he did 20 years ago, throwing on a B-side, you know. So
right, well, which really, I believe it really started with the Spies Like Us single, where he added My Carnival to it.
Right,
which again would have been a song for the
10 years old by that point, right?
Right, yeah. By that time, it was 10 years old, really.
Right. So I mean, you know, we know the man has no short of material sitting around to just put stuff out there. So yeah, you know, the decade kicks off with Put It There and Mama's Little Girl. The 12-inch I like because you get the inclusion of Same Time Next Year, which is
right.
Another Wings leftover song from the last incarnation of Wings.
Right, yeah, and that was one of the first tracks that they worked on together with that incarnation of Wings.
Yeah.
Now, this was for the movie of the same name, Same Time Next Year,
yeah.
Starring Alan Alda, back in 1978. However, the track was refused because producers felt that it gave too much of the plot away from the movie,
yeah.
so it was never used.
Much clearer when you listen to the officially released version of Same Time Next Year compared to any of the cold cut stuff. It's night and day. You can hear the mastering job done, or mix job by it looks like Bill Price on this. It's, you know, it's night and day clarity. So it's nice that the cold cut stuff did get an official release, you know?
Okay. Right. Yeah. I never got those bootlegs. I know there's a lot of cold cut bootlegs out there. However, I don't know if I have one that has same time next year on there. Cause I know that was going to be, for the cold cuts as well.
Right. You know, all these B-sides he's thrown out there that he's had in the can for 20 years. And still not one time has he said, oh, let me throw a water spout on the B-side of one of these things.
Or Cage. Yeah.
Right. Cage.
Yeah.
Well, we almost got it on All the Best, you know, until Richard Ogden said, don't do that.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point. I can't help but think that, obviously, the next two releases in the archive series should be London Town and Back to the Egg.
Yeah, we actually had a listener reach out to us and ask us about why Back to the Egg wasn't on iTunes, and we can only surmise that it was pulled because maybe it's the next one in the series getting ready. Although London Town is still available on Apple Music, so I don't know why Back to the Egg was yanked from streaming services, but it's not on there.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff.
Interesting. Next up.
Yeah, next up we got, what's it, Birthday?
Is it Birthday or All My Trials?
Let's go All My Trials. Yeah, let's talk about that one.
Interesting song. When I was a wee lad, I thought it was one of his own songs until I had to look at it and say, oh, it's
right.
Not. It's a,
so you got the 12-inch there, and I'm just hanging up on the 7-inch right now.
Now, the B-side to that on yours is what? Z-Moon?
Z-Moon, yeah, for this one. However, right. When you get the CD single, you get Good Day Sunshine, which is the single for the 7-inch.
Maybe a different version.
Okay. See? No, you know what? No, never mind. I'm on the wrong one. But yeah, C-Moon is what I got here. But that 12-inch, what do you got for the single or the B-sides on the?
For the B-sides on All My Trials on the 12-inch are a live version of Mulligan Tire, which is really nice.
Okay.
And then and then the live version of Put It There.
Okay.
From Feeling Alive Fantastic. On
so
that.
you do get four songs on the 12-inch then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is nice. Yeah, All My Trials and Sea Moon on the A side, and then Mulligan Tire.
Right.
And then the CD single is Sea Moon again, but then this is where you got the Strawberry Fields Help, Give Peace a Chance from...
The medley.
The medley from the Liverpool show that we talked about a few episodes
that's ago. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Right.
That's very cool.
Very cool. That's why I brought that up at that show. It was
right.
So cool. Yeah, All My Trials.
Yeah,
Sea Moon as a B-side, kind of lame, right. I think.
Plus, it's live, though, right, you said?
It's live, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this just says mixed by Matt Butler. but there's nothing on the record where it's from or anything, you know. But again, you know, just content everywhere, you know.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So birthday would be next.
Birthday next. All in the Flowers era, 1990. The big surprise catch for this one, for me as a fan, was actually getting to hear Let 'Em In live. You know, because Let 'Em In, you know, was not a staple really in the set list, in the major part of the set list of the Flowers in the Dirt tour. So
right.
I think he played it. I think when he got to Japan, he brought Let 'Em In back. So as somebody who really likes Wings, you know, that was like, wow, he's actually doing like a real big Wings song later on.
Right.
Other than Band on the Run and Jet, you didn't really get anything else really. So
right. Yeah.
Having that was cool.
Yeah. But then the other track that you get, the true B side actually is Good Day Sunshine. If
live.
You have the 7-inch 45 live, correct. However, when you get the CD single, you're not only getting Let 'Em In live, but you're also getting probably the song that you know, gets the biggest amount of crap in his solo career, which is P.S. Love Me Do, which was recorded in Rio. And
Rio show with that,
right?
Yeah, that the Rio show that he did in front of, you know, whatever it was.
Yeah, didn't he break a record for attendance with that?
Yeah, 180,000 something people or something like that.
Incredible.
Yeah, no birthday. So we got a lot of different. You got four different sites here. Birthday was from Nebworth, right? The famous
right.
Nebworth. Good Day Sunshine was from Montreal.
Right.
December of 90. P.S. Let Me Do, as you mentioned, was the Rio show, and Let 'Em In was Tokyo, March of 1990.
Right.
So all cool stuff from 1990. All capitalizing on the Flowers in the Dirt era.
Well, mostly cool stuff.
Just when you get to P.S. Let Me Do, just skip it. Just skip it. You know, that's all. Just skip it. You'll be fine. Next. Are we still in Flowers or no?
No. Matter of fact, we're going to move to December of 92.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about
Off the Ground, your favorite album of all time, baby. Yeah.
Hope of Deliverance. Now, this is the 7-inch. This is the one that has the long leather coat as the B-side. But yeah, go ahead.
No, I wasn't sure what the actual true B-side was. It was Long Leather Coat.
Yeah.
It should have been on the album. Should have been on the album.
Yes, I agree 100%. We are going to do an Off the Ground show soon. And I'm going to, you know, get my real feelings.
Come on, Joe. I need some backup, baby.
You'll get some backup.
Come on, Joe. I need some Off the Ground love, babe. Come on. Come on. I need.
How many copies do you need?
Come on, Joe.
Oh, you've got the complete Off the Ground there, huh? Do you?
Yeah, I do. Come on, Joe. Let's do this. I don't care what he says.
Nice. Very nice. So, Hopeful Deliverance.
Modern McCartney classic, of course.
Okay. Some people might say that.
I just did.
Yes, you did. But it's Long Leather Coat that is
great.
The B-side.
That's just a classic. That's McCartney B-side classic.
I think it's a great track. I think musically it's very interesting. Now, something that I'll reiterate once we do the Off the Ground show is I'm not the biggest fan when my favorite musician, actor,
it's political. No, I get it.
It's either political, makes statements or whatever. That's fine. I realize that all these people have different views. Some I may agree with, some I may not agree with. However, I don't want it on a record.
Right. Yeah, he was really going crazy with those issues on that record, you know, looking for changes, really pushing the whole animal rights stuff.
Exactly.
Which are all great causes, you know.
They just don't always make good songs.
No, but Long Leather Coat is a case in point where that actually is just a great song. It's a rocker. The band is tight, you know, the lyric, great vocal delivery on it, tight, you know, that's one that should have been on the album for sure.
I agree. And there's another song then once you get to the CD single, excuse me, sorry about all the noises that I'm making.
Yeah, I know.
Still got a little bit of a sickness, but anyways, when you get to the CD single, now you're also getting a couple other songs. And another song which he was making a statement on was a song called Big Boys Bickering, which was part of the Hope of Deliverance CD single. Right. And again, making a statement. However, again, the musically it's interesting. And, you know, he uses one of my favorite words of all time on multiple occasions. For everyone. Exactly. Good point. And it's tight too, like Long Live the Code is, you know.
I will agree with you there that Big Boys Bickering just sounds too forced on that one. Long Live the Code is musically tight and kicking ass. Big Boys Bickering sounds like he's trying too hard a little bit.
A little bit. I also think lyrically, I mean, I could have seen Lennon doing something like this, you know, if he was to have survived, I could see him use these types of words, you know, for a song, you know, if he were to still be with us. And I think maybe he might have channeled his inner Lennon, you know, for this song, you know. But I mean, how do you get attention, create attention? I mean, you use a word like, you know, like he used for the song. I mean, take notice. I mean, I know MTV banned it. I know. There was a video made for
it. For those that don't know the song, it's the F word, by the way.
Right.
Well, Paul drops multiple F bombs in Big Boys Bickering, and if you haven't heard it, go check it out on YouTube. There's, I believe, a live performance from the Ed Sullivan Show in December of '92, where he played it live, and you can, you know, he sang it full, you know, tongue in cheek, and the whole thing. So it's there.
Right.
Interesting song, but again, Paul dabbling his foot in the water, in waters that he's not usually in. So it doesn't always come off well to my co-host's, liking.
Right. And then we got another song too, Kicked Around No More, which is, I think, another
tremendous,
great song that deserved to be on Off the Ground. I'm really looking, now that we're talking about this and talking about these songs that were not on the album, I'm really looking forward to our chat about Off the Ground, because I've got the ultimate Off the Ground playlist.
Oh, okay, good. We can kick around the playlist that day when we do that show with Joe.
Yeah, exactly. And Kicked Around No More is, I think, a gorgeous song, you know, recorded around the you know, that same period. And again, just, God, I wish this was on the, I wish it was on the album.
Next.
Shame. It was a shame. Damn shame. Next after that, we've got Come On, People.
Come On, People. Come On, People.
See, you got that. I've got the CD single.
The CD single. This is the 7-inch. This one was hard to come by. I got this as a UK import maybe 15 years ago. It might have been $5.
Okay. Not $5 anymore, I can tell you that.
No. Yeah, Come On, People on the A side, which with a running length of 5:45, which is probably shorter than the album version. And then a good tune called I Can't Imagine as the B-side, which, again, another off-the-ground leftover, which I enjoy.
Can't Imagine reminds me of something that may have been on the McCartney record. You know, great finger-pickering, picking on the guitar, you know, some nice, you know, McCartney-ish style backing vocals on that as well.
Produced by Paul and Julian Mendelsohn, who did the whole album. So 1993. This is like, you gotta remember 1990s. Okay, grunge and everything is like taking off.
Oh, absolutely.
So, like, you know, Paul McCartney releasing his socio commentary album. Yeah, it just was not gonna do anything really at that time. And it's a period that I'm very close to, because it's when I really kind of began to become a serious fan. I was only, you know, 11 or 12 at the time, so I was really conscious of everything. And, you know, in school, my friends were wearing long flannels and listening to, you know, Nirvana. And I'm like, no, man, Off the Ground just came out. Get it. And it was like, what? you know. So
right.
Yeah,
and that's funny too, yeah. Because you know, I was by this time I was already well deep into. By this time I was looking for something new. Nirvana came along. I jumped on that bandwagon like I didn't like never before, and I rode that train all the way up until his untimely death. But that's another story.
So you were full on Nirvana, or you were full on into McCartney at that time?
Oh, Nirvana at the time. McCartney.
Oh, okay, you were. So you were like, you knew off the ground was a new album. You bought it, whatever.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, okay. Had it and already realized I didn't like it at that time. But anyways.
Yeah.
This version of the CD single.
Yeah, what's different about that? Yeah, what's on that
this
one?
This one has... Now, I got a little confused because I thought the different Deliverance remakes was on the Hope of Deliverance CD. It's not. This one has the two different Deliverance mixes. One at 844 and another one at 741. One was the Steve Anderson mixes. So this is completely different than what you've got. So there is no traditional B-side on this particular
on the CD single. Right. Because they just weren't made that way. You know, you didn't, I don't know how many CD singles actually had two tracks on them. Not too many, probably, you know?
No, not a lot.
Well, now that you mentioned that, this Japanese version of Off the Ground that I have is really cool because it has actually a mini CD in it.
Right.
And it's got Long Leather Coat and Kicked Around No More.
Kicked Around No More, right. Yeah, I used to have that. Yeah.
Yeah, which is, I mean, what was this called? Was this like a maxi? I forget what they used to call this. Mini.
Mini. It's just a mini CD or something like that. But you know, when your CD player came out, it had like two.
But it plays. If you still have pockets. A CD, I could still put this in mine. It'll play.
Cool.
Yeah, but weird format. Very weird format. So I can't imagine. Yeah, good song. Like I said, it could be on the McCartney album. It's got that vibe to it. You know, opens up a little acoustic guitar strum. Gets a little nice, typical beat going in it. Good harmonies on it. It's one that I revisit when I revisit this period. It's one of my go-to songs for sure.
Gotcha. Yeah, good song.
Next.
Off the Ground.
Okay. Right. Right. So we both have the CD single there with four tracks. Five tracks.
Original. 7-inch had the B-side was Cosmic Conscience.
Yes.
Now you have the white vinyl 45 on that, which is pretty cool. I love the purple label. I love the white vinyl on that.
Right, the retro. But now, okay, this really pissed off a very young teenage Andy when he bought this, okay? Because I had known that Cosmic Conscience was a full song. You know, you heard a little bit at the end of Come On People, and you're like, ooh,
correct.
What's that? And then searching the internet in the early internet days, I was like, oh, if you get the single, Cosmically Conscious is available on the B-side and it's full length. And, okay, if you look at this record, okay, it says 4:39 running time. I bought the single. Might have been $2, $3 20 years ago. I put it on, and it's the album version of Cosmically Conscious that closes the album. It's not the full version. I'm pissed off. So the Capitol's lying to you. 4:39. You put it on. And all it is the fade that comes in from Come On People. So, you know, until I got the complete works, I was a little bit gypped, and you know, I didn't get it. But white vinyl is still cool. And Cosmically Conscious, I don't know how you feel about it, but that's, you know, it's got its origins in from, you know, Rishikesh and the Beatle days, right. And again, should have been on the album proper. Your thoughts?
It's okay. I would have picked a different song. I don't mind it. However, I don't think it's worthy of being on the album myself. I think it was fine just as like an album closer, okay. You know, just like another minute and a half added on to that, you know, Come On People. It's fine. I don't think it needs to be 4:39. This is a 2 minute and 50 second song, in my opinion. You know, that's all you needed of this.
You know, however, what? I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that. It doesn't need to be 4:50 or 4:40. It could be a 3-minute song. It could have been.
However, if you would have backed this up with, say, something like Style Style or Sweet Sweet Memories that are on the CD single, now that, I think you got something.
As it, so if all three on the A-side and you go with Sweet Sweet Memories or Style Style as a B-side?
Yeah, that's what I would have put on the B-side. Probably Sweet Sweet Memories because it's a you know, it's only 4 minutes as opposed to the 6 minutes.
Style Style at 6 minutes is a little bit of a plotter, a little bit.
Yeah, you're right. It is a little longer on the longer style, on the longer side, but... But again, it's, in my opinion, a better song. It doesn't have any, it's a Linda-oriented song. It's not a statement song or a political song. So I think, and musically, I like it as well. I think it would have fit and made Off the Ground a lot better. Same with Sweet Sweet Memories, which is a nice, sweet,
great song.
Little song, right?
Yeah. Again, another one opens up very acoustically, and then boom, right. It goes right into it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, again, I think the Sweet Sweet Memories would have made a nice little single as well. But, oh, well, you know, it is what it is. Who knows, you know, what goes through his mind when he's picking songs for his albums.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, Hope, just going back to Hope It Delivers, because I think we're that closes the book on Off the Ground now, right? That was the last single.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Hope of Deliverance, not in this country, but, you know, especially in Europe, it did very, very well. So,
oh, yeah. I mean,
it's probably one of his better singles, songs that have been released over the last, you know, 20, 25 years.
I will say that it is a song that has grown on me through the years, especially musically. I do appreciate the musicianship on this song.
Right. Yeah.
However, in terms of lyrics, you know, it still might take some time.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. So, but it is what it is.
Now we get to what's coming up in a few weeks. Correct?
Yes, absolutely. April 97. Excuse me. Young Boy.
Young Boy. The first single came out in April. The album Flaming Pie comes out in May. This is the first lead-off single that comes out.
You got the picture disc, which is really cool. I'm going to start picking those up pretty soon. However, this is just the
so what's on that?
This is just the promotional CD. So all it is Young Boy.
It's just Young Boy. You don't even get any. You don't even get Looking for You or an Ubu Jubu.
No, because it's just this is the promotional stuff, not for sale.
Right.
So it probably just went to the radio stations for them to play.
Well done, these picture discs, and they still play well. You know, I bought them when they came out. These might have been about $15 each back then.
Yeah, I believe it.
You know, I'm not sure what they're going. You've been looking for them. How much are these going for?
Oh, 25 to 30 bucks
a piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think these were about $15 back in the day. But Young Boy, lead off single from the album. Heard that, I'm like, okay, this is going to be a return to form for sure.
Right. You know?
The B-side on the original 45 is one that, you know, frankly, is a B-side and should not be ever heard anywhere ever again, and that's Looking for You.
So, right. So this is like the, okay, so, you know, Paul McCartney, Jeff Lynne, Ringo, they do Really Love You, and they're having a good time. Which ends up on the Flaming Pie album. They're having a great time, and they do another jam, which it ends up turning out to be Looking for You, which is the lesser of the two, if you're going to, you know, rank these two jams, if you will, which are nothing more than jams, and then jams. You know, lyrics that were just, you know, pop up in, you know, in thin air like Paul McCartney can do, you know, like nobody else. But again, yeah, I don't necessarily think it's a great song. You play it once, you know, and I think that's it. You know, I don't really.
Nothing. Yeah, not a bona fide B-side classic. You know.
Right.
You know.
So now, when you get to the CD singles, now when it comes to all of these songs that were released, you get. I believe this one has two different CD singles. Okay, so you get the CD single, okay, and then you get Looking for You. But then you also get the Ubu Jubu stuff because he was releasing Ubu Jubu stuff on these CD singles.
Right.
Now that was one. Now there's another CD single then that has Broomstick and then has Ubu Jubu as well, but a different Ubu Jubu.
Right, right. You know, in the Ubu Jubu stuff, again, for those that don't know, Ubu Jubu was on Westwood One Radio in the summer of 95, and it was on pretty much once a week. So 2 years' time now, I guess he saw it fit to start releasing segments of that across some of these CD singles that were out
there. Right, which is fine. They're not the whole show, but it has stuff that relates to these particular songs, like Young Boy then has Paul talking about Young Boy on the Ubu Jubu. It has like the demo version of Ubu Jubu.
Right.
So then, you know, the Broomstick. Now, Broomstick is a song that he does with Steve Miller. And again, I think this is a really good song. This would have been made for, it would have been a better B-side than Looking for You on that picture disc that you have. And it's a shame that it wasn't there. But the Broomstick, you know, 95, it's just McCartney, it's just Steve Miller on that track. You know, and it kicks ass. I think it's a really good track. Really looking forward to having it with the Flaming Pie box set.
Tremendous, yeah. Broomstick, you know, just playing a few seconds of it here. This was a good track. This was a good B-side.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, that one, you know, to finally getting it all housed on one set is going to be very nice, because as we kind of go through the CD singles, and I'll touch on this, what's the next one, World Tonight?
Well, World Tonight, I think, also had Looking for You on it as well as its B-side on the CD single.
On the
but
on
what
the,
is it?
So yeah, World Tonight 45 has Used to Be Bad as the B-side.
Used to Be Bad, right. So that's on the album, so it really doesn't pertain to this particular episode. But the CD single, I think, does have something different on it.
That's
right?
Kind of what I want to touch on upon. Now, when you bought these as imports in the 90s, very oddly, in the case of World Tonight and Beautiful Night, they were double CD singles. So there was not there was two discs in here, but you only got the first disc. It didn't come with the second disc.
No, so there was two different discs for these, because
they
both contained two different Ubu Jubus on them as well.
Correct. So when I bought World Tonight, and it came with the first disc, with Used to Be Bad, the third installment of Ubu Jubu, which you had Squid included on this, included in it, but then the second disc for the World Tonight single, and they're telling you too when you buy it, it's available separately, so it's not included. It's not included, in, so I don't know how you'd get it. I was never able to track it down. I was able to track down Beautiful Night later on. The second disc on the World Tonight single has Don't Break the Promise.
Right.
As the song included, and then another Ubu Jubu part 4. So it'll be nice having all these in one shot now to get all this stuff, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it'd still be nice to have these CD singles all separate, you know, just to have them all lined up.
Again, Used to Be Bad as a B-side with Steve Miller.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
It doesn't do much for me.
Right. No, I definitely think Broomstick was the better of the two songs.
Absolutely. 1,000% agree.
That's just me, I guess. But then following up with the next one, that would be Beautiful Night.
Now we're talking about that Beautiful Night or World Tonight? That's the World Tonight.
I'm sorry.
That's the World Tonight. Before we go to Beautiful Night, let's just do World Tonight again real quick.
Yeah.
The CD single, which I think you had just had there.
Right here.
That's this one. So Looking for You, we touched on. But it also included Ubu Jubu Part 1, which included...
Right, that's the one I got here.
Which included I Love This House, which is the first...
Love This House, which is a great, great track. Great guitar work from David Gilmour on there.
Yes. Circa 1984, right? So I Love This House, right, pretty much. You know, it was nice that, you know, he included... You know, he used actually Ubu Jubu to kind of get some of these songs out there.
Exactly.
You know,
a lot of these songs, like early versions of Beautiful Night, you know, Squid, you know, I Love This House, all of them,
would have been
all
nice,
those songs
though,
made premiere on
these singles, which is
which we will eventually we'll get to doing a new Bujubu show.
Yes, we will. I just wish with this box coming up in a few weeks, we would have gotten these songs individually. You know,
and maybe they will be. Who knows if they'll be broken down. It doesn't look like as at the moment moment that they are.
Right.
But yeah, it would be great if they were broken down.
It would. But
into their own individual
track. Yeah, because these are songs that are worthy of having their own separate track. I mean, here, let's let you know a Sam over in the UK who probably doesn't he probably never even heard "I Love This House," you know, or "Love Come Tumbling Down," which is the right. B side to the next single. You know, all time classic A side in my opinion. I'm sure Tom would agree. "Beautiful Night."
Yeah.
And "Love Come Tumbling Down" on the B-side, which is one of my all-time favorite B-side tracks. And again, this goes back to the
87
Phil Ramone session at New York's Power Station recording studios with Billy Joel's band.
Right. See, and this would have been.
I'm sorry. We are incorrect, my friend. "Love Come Tumbling Down" was not Phil Ramone. "Love Come Tumbling Down" had on the back of the 45 here shows recorded in March of 87 in Sussex, England, produced by Phil Ramone, but not in New York.
Okay.
So it's not with Billy Joel's band. It's that same period, but
it's with Phil Ramone. That's the main thing.
It's the Phil Ramone song. Great, great track. Sounds like it's got the 80s production on it, but.
Right.
Before we went on today, I had it on and I was, you know, Tom was jamming out to it a little bit.
I think it's a great track. This is on the Return to Pepperland bootleg.
Yes, it is. It first surfaced along there.
With, I believe, Squid, "I Love This House," Lindiana, stuff like that.
All that stuff.
Which is a lot of good stuff there.
Great bootleg, all from that 87 material.
Yeah, again, if you can find that bootleg, I definitely recommend. That is the one, I'm not the biggest bootleg fan, but that is one definitely one to look up.
That's one worth getting. Now, here's the case. We were talking about "World Tonight" being a 2-CD single, and how could you get the other one available? Same thing with "Beautiful Night." You only got the first disc. You had to track down the second one, which I did which I was able to do for "Beautiful Night." So that was one where I could get the second one, and then you'd call it the B side or the extra track available on the second disc would be "Same Love."
"Same Love," which is again another beautiful track. I think it was a shame that this track never got used up until now. I think this would have been a nice addition to "Flowers in the Dirt." You got, you know, the wonderful Nicky Hopkins on piano on that song.
Yeah.
You know, and great opening piano note. Piano solo from Nicky Hopkins on the song.
Awesome. Again, McCartney with a unheralded vocal performance on this one.
Yeah.
Especially towards the end. Right. And so this is actually after the Phil Ramone stuff. This has a recording date of June of 88. So this is right as the Flowers stuff is starting to take off.
Yep. Absolutely.
So, yeah. "Flaming Pie." So we're all going to get this stuff hopefully in a few weeks. You know, when we get
"Same Love" is on there as well. So looking forward to that. It was a shame that that wasn't included in the "Flowers in the Dirt" set. But
right, because again, chronologically, would he go back and actually put all these things as he recorded them? But clearly, with the archive, he's just doing it as he released it. Which, hey,
right, and that's the thing, you know, when these archive sets are coming out, and say like if something like you know, "Beautiful Night," you know, which started back in the mid '80s. You know, I mean, do you get all of those early, you know, "Beautiful Night," you know, demos and early versions?
Right, and that was one thing about the "Beautiful Night" you had mentioned with being on available on the Ubu Jubu, the 1986 version. Right. Yeah. It was on there, but it was edited. It wasn't the full. He shortened it. So, again, as Tom mentioned, seek out "Return to Pepperland" bootleg for the full. Version of that 1986 demo, which we're going to get if you've pre-ordered "Flaming Pie" box, and it's going to be on there anyway. Plus this 1995 version, which really that's the first thing I'm going to go listen to when it comes. I'm really curious on how that's going to sound.
Yeah, looking forward to doing that show when we get the box.
We're going to do an unboxing episode too, whenever we get it. Tom and I both ordered from Amazon, and we both got emails saying that it's been delayed. Not, I think, on anything on MPL's end. I think just because of the delays with COVID and everything. So
it's possible, yeah. So, I mean, the email then stated that we wouldn't get it until, like, the 4th to the 31st, right?
Right. Well, there was two emails, one about the vinyl and then one about the box. And they're saying the box would even come as late as September?
The 31st, I think.
Of what?
Of August.
Right, a whole other month.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, you know, so... you know, Tom and I might hedge our bets and yank those orders and maybe we'll go from somewhere else. I don't know. But
yeah, which is kind of crappy because, you know, as an Amazon Prime member, you know, I rely on getting that stuff on release day, and I've never been let down before, you know, which
now this might be a case where it's all the content is available on release day streaming on a Spotify, on an Apple Music. Right. So if you have that and you've ordered it and you're not going to get it, at least you have access to the music to hear this stuff, which I don't think Tom is a subscriber, but I'm a sucker for everything music, so I'll take it.
Right. Now, one thing I did notice then, too, when we ordered this on Amazon, that it didn't have the digital download versions of this. So it's just like usually
when you order
an archive set like I have in the past, you know, come 9 p.m. my time because, you know, you're Eastern
Coast,
time.
Right.
Midnight, that's when that stuff drops. Like, I get that email saying,
oh, so okay, at like 9 o'clock at night, you could say, hey, download this stuff. You can download this from Amazon,
right?
And you didn't get that, huh?
No, not with this. I mean, I've got it with Egypt Station, I got it with some of the ex Beatles, 50th anniversary box sets as well,
right? But so, with because we're buying it, because aren't we going to get a download card in the box anyway? To download right from.
But however, I don't think they were included in the last two. I don't think they were in the Red Rose Speedway.
Yes, and, no, they were. There was download cards for that.
Were they?
Okay. Yes, there was.
All right.
Yeah, there was for that. So.
You know what? That's what. You know what? Where it is? I think. I don't think they're in. They've been in. They were in the last batch of vinyl reissues.
Correct. Oh, the Capitol. The Capitol 2018 repressings. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, Flaming Pie, I think, we're talking about Paul's B-sides in the 1990s. Flaming Pie obviously offers most bang for your buck in terms of the scope of material.
Right.
You know, there's so much out there. You've got Ubu Jubu stuff. You've got all the 80s stuff. You've got proper B-sides. So, I mean, you know, that's I think Flaming Pie and its associated singles for the 1990s is like the apex of his 1990s singles, I think. Because after 97, as we're going to get into here, it falls off, really, with, you know, he ends the decade with a real rocker of an album with Run, Devil, Run.
Right.
Which Tom is going to show you a tremendous set.
Yeah, this is, I believe, the UK-only released Run, Devil, Run box set. Now, the cool thing about this is then all the tracks were released on 45.
The throwback label. Now, Tom, how long ago did you get that, and how much was it? Because that has been one of my missing things I've been trying to get, and I've foolishly passed it up several times. But
I got a great record store here in Arizona called In the Groove, and I would say about 4 years ago I was in there, and I noticed this bright shiny box. Over here was kind of like a hype sticker that was falling off.
Mm-hmm.
It had Paul McCartney's Run, Double, Run on it. However, like I said, it was falling off, so I ended up just taking it off. It was
you
bothering.
Did. Yeah.
Yeah. And then looked at it, and I had the guy take it out of the case so I can get a good look at it. $100.
Wow.
I thought to myself, okay, I'm probably not going to see it for cheaper than this. So, the following week, I went in and I pulled the trigger on it.
That's a great score, man.
Yeah, but as you can see, you know, all the tracks from
the whole album. It's basically, for those who don't know, it's the entire album on 45.
Right.
So, you know.
Except for one track. There was one track that was not on the album that ended up on a B-side.
Party, right? Party?
And you're talking about a song called Fabulous, I believe.
Oh, Fabulous, right. So, Fabulous, right. So, which I have here.
Which was on the, which is on the B-side for Party.
Right, right. Which is, so it's on the B-side there, too, right. So, Fabulous. Right.
So, Fabulous is on there, too, or no?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah. You got Nowhere the Baby, Brown Eyed Handsome Man, and Fabulous on a really cool, again, throwback style CD single
Like, oh, that is cool. That's far out.
Yeah, but very cool throwback look. I love the feel he was going for with the whole 50s retro look, especially in the 7-inch box that you have there. Right. Awesome.
Yeah, that's killer. I like that. I'm gonna have to try to find that.
Yeah. This was a UK import. It still has the Made in England thing on there. Came with a really cool poster. It's that picture of Paul looking like Elvis with the red shirt. I don't know if you've seen that.
Right.
Yeah. So. Awesome. What's we got there? Movie Mag. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
That is a score and a half. I've passed that up at countless Beetlefest over the years, and I'm kicking myself for doing so.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it does cost a little Brown Eyed Handsome Man, which is a good track. What do we got here?
One of the singles, heavily promoted as a single, even a video for it, too.
Yeah, Blue Jean Bop, which is maybe my favorite song off of the album. I Got Stung is really good as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, good stuff on here.
Cool, good album. You know,
good
album.
Party.
I mean, and again, he played it at the. In December of '99, he played it at the Cavern. You know, which several friends of mine were fortunate enough to attend.
And I've heard very nice
stories about that show. I remember it was like streaming live on the internet back then, and you had to watch. You could watch it online, or if you had DirecTV, you could watch it on DirecTV. I remember watching a crappily speed high. You know, again, internet for like 1999 was not great, but I remember watching like a pixelated performance of him at the crack going, wait, there's that song, you know. But didn't think.
Well, at least you got to see it. I mean, you were one of the first people that got to see it, so.
Yeah.
Even if it was heavily pixelated.
It was. But Run Devil Run, a nice way to close the decade out for him. I have another 45 here, which is different than the set that Tom has. So I picked up in New York City at that time. Just a 45 of Try Not to Cry on, actually, I don't even know if it's an A or B side on this. Try Not to Cry on one side, and then No Other Baby on the other side. Standalone single. And again, for jukeboxes only. Who was playing this song in a jukebox in 1999? Answer, no one. But I think actually Try Not to Cry is probably one of the weaker songs on the whole album, really. It's okay, but... Right. The others, and it's an original song, but the covers that he does on that album is tremendous. And
right,
you know, this is how he closed out the decade. I think really Fabulous. Fabulous is probably one of the better B sides.
Oh, Fabulous is really cool. Yeah, Fabulous is really cool.
Fabulous and, is fabulous.
Yeah, and a lot of those tracks are true to the original. You know, Paul McCartney's got. I mean, that band was killer.
Yeah, you had the guy from Deep Purple as the drummer, right?
Yeah, Ian Pace. And then, you know, Gilmore, McCartney, how can you go wrong there?
Yeah, I mean, and after, those are the guys he cut the album with. And, you know, I know he did it as a kind of tribute to Linda because she wanted him to do it and stuff. Exactly. And, you know, on some level, making that record was probably very cathartic for him to go through that and do it.
Yeah, a little therapy maybe.
Yeah,
Linda was a huge fan of that genre of music, or that.
Yeah,
that,
I mean, it's even over 20 years later, the rawness of that record. It's not one that I play a whole lot, but when you do, you just listen to it, and you're like, damn, they are on fire on that record.
And it's better, and for me personally, it's better than the Russian album. It just sounds better, and
Chris Thomas produced it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Chris Thomas directed.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go. When Chris knew how to produce them, you know. So that's again, McCartney's releases in the 90s, as we've talked on this show, are like just so very, there's no rhyme or reason to it, you know. It's I just think he throws caution to the wind, and if it works and people like, he doesn't really care, but you know, we bought it up all anyway.
Right.
You know.
Well, it was a great way to get out a lot of those earlier songs, like a Same Time Next Year.
Yeah.
You know, the tracks that probably would have never seen the light of day if it wasn't for the B-sides, or if it wasn't for the CD single or the 12-inch single. Yeah.
Right, even getting more stuff. You know, now listen, you guys, you and Dave tackled the 70s and 80s. Now we've closed the door on the 90s now for the B-sides. Now looking at the 2000s past, because there's not really B-sides anymore, really.
If you had to pick a favorite decade of his B-sides, what are you going with? 70s, 80s, or 90s?
I'm going, wow. It would be between the 70s and 80s. The 80s had a lot of strong B-sides. You know, I'll give you a ring, Rain Crowd, Right Away. I know Ode to Koala Bear has its fans, not particular me, but but damn, you gotta go.
Tough.
You gotta go.
70s, 80s. It's either 70s or 80s.
You gotta go 70s just on the strength of Old Woman O.Y., Sally G., Nighttime Suffering. Those three B-sides alone, are just amazing.
Remember, there's a lot of cases, and then The Mess. Don't forget The Mess is a B-side.
Yeah, The Mess, I Lie Around.
Great B-side. You had a lot of B-sides, though, there in the later half of the 70s that were not B-sides. They were just songs from the album, right? So listen,
like Let 'Em In had Beware My Love.
Right.
You know,
Silly Love Songs had The Cook of the House.
Right.
You know,
Girl School, another one.
Girl School. Oof.
Another solid B-side.
That's ridiculously good. Very tough to go 70s or 80s. Gun to my head, and you guys are kind of, this is kind of piggybacking on your Talk More Talk show for tomorrow night, but I'm going to say probably the 80s. I'm going to go 80s over 70s.
Okay.
Oh, razor thin stuff. But I mean, all the B-sides from the 70s and 80s clearly outshine the ones from the 90s in I think our collective opinion. But it's still, listen, B-sides were still a thing in the 90s, and this is why we wanted to tackle that one today.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think you can go wrong with either decade. Flying to My Home, B-side for, My Brave Face, solid. Yeah.
Don't forget, you've got Back of My Feet.
Back of My Feet for Stone, wow, good stuff.
Great stuff.
In decades.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. All right. Well, this was a nice little part three to this.
The B-sides on two legs.
The B-sides, right. We'll have to look into the 2000s and see.
We could probably do the last 20 years in one
20
show.
20 years in one show, exactly. Yeah. Because there's some.
I mean, there's cool, a couple things. Hope for the Future and what else? Jenny Wren, From a Lover to a Friend.
Right.
I'm just looking at my 2000s here. You got From a Lover to a Friend. There's a couple CD singles of that.
Right.
Freedom from. So, we could probably do a 2000s.
I think Fine Line had a non-album single on it, or non-album B-side as well.
Yeah, it did. Growing Up, Falling Down.
Yeah, there you go. But,
yeah, and then you got the Jenny Wren single. So,
right.
This Loving Game. So we could definitely tackle a post-2000s.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Just do it all in one show.
Yeah, there you go. Cool. Awesome. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Tom. This one was a lot of fun, man. Yeah. They all are, but this one.
No, absolutely. Anytime we can talk about these songs, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
These little hidden gems that, the casual McCartney fan might not know.
And, yeah. Seek them out. We're in a lovely age where if we talk about stuff that you don't really know or have heard of,
right.
Go right onto YouTube and go listen to it and check it out.
Exactly. Go to YouTube. Yeah. And then if you're a collector, Discogs, eBay, they're all there to find.
They are there. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, cool. All right, Andy. Well, as always, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and our Facebook page, Two Legs Podcast. You can find us on YouTube at Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. Check that out. Please subscribe to our channel there. That's where you'll see our video cast. We're on Podbean. We're on iTunes, iHeartRadio. That's where you'll get the audio versions of this show. Thanks to Andy. I know we had some issues with our iTunes or whatever, and hopefully those issues are now over. So, Andy, thank you for putting in the effort to get that issue resolved. We haven't had any emails about any issues lately, so that's always a good thing.
So. Great. No, yeah, sorry about that. It was a conversion thing of a program that I was using, but I think we've rectified it now. So thanks for those that you hung in there. And again, if you couldn't get them on Podbean, they're always on YouTube anyway. So
right, exactly. Exactly. And don't forget, you can email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. So once again, we appreciate everybody that checks us out. We've got a lot more shows coming up in the future with a lot of great guests and a lot of great topics. And look forward to hearing your comments. So keep them coming. Thank you very much. And as always, for Andy, I'm Tom, and have a great day and a beautiful night.
Listening to Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast, hosted by Tom Hunyadi and Andy Nichols, with musical contributions by Dylan Siegel.